thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to your house and worship you. Just ask that you be with Josh this morning as he shares from your word. Just be with us so we could have open hearts and receive it. Also, Father, this morning I just want to remember those that went out from here that are serving you in different places, thinking of Trulin's family and Devon as they are probably having service somewhere in prison this morning. Just be with them in a special way, and that they could share your love to those in prison. So again, we just ask that you be in our midst this morning, and especially be with Josh as he brings your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I do want to say good morning to each one of you this morning, and especially the visitors that are here. Hope that we all can worship together here this morning. Let's see if I can get this connected quick. If I can, I'm just going to forget it. They say that when you speak, when you preach, the most important time is the first minute or two to whether or not the people are going to fall asleep or not. Okay, it came on. And so I'm going to try to wake you up this morning. And so I want you all to imagine with me for a minute that you are back in your dating relationship with your wife now, or some of you are even in that period now. But I want you to imagine that. Go back to the time when you were engaged to your spouse. And I think I'm just going to pause just a minute, let some of you older folks take a little bit longer to get back that far. So as you go back there, if you can just remember a time that you were with your spouse to be, and some of you are there now. But I want you to imagine just at a restaurant, or maybe at her place, you know, just you and her, and you're sitting there just having, you know, you're just in love. And then all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but in your discussion, your wife tells you that she's pregnant. What would that do to you? And I had to think about that. This very thing happened to a man named Joseph. And I just can't imagine how devastating that must have been to him, to his life. And again, thinking that as Christian people, as Christian men, I would hope that we were all just men, just like Joseph was. But you know, just sitting across from your spouse to be, and her telling you that she's pregnant, that she's expecting, you know, what would go through your mind? Because for Joseph, you know, nothing like this had ever happened before. even before the angel came to Mary and told her that she was pregnant, so it was not really a surprise to her. She knew what was going on. It was a surprise, but it wasn't as shocking, I don't believe, as what it was for Joseph, being that it came from his spouse. but I'm sure that Joseph was devastated, and nothing like this had ever happened before. We know that Zechariah and Elizabeth were old, and she was expecting. And so that was kind of a miracle. I mean, that was a miracle. And but at the same time, you know, they were married, and God could use Zechariah to allow her to be pregnant. But Joseph, you know, being a just man, seems to have found out, again, from another source other than an angel. And I just can't imagine how much that would have rocked his world. I think that, and at the same time, I think we read into the story maybe some things that aren't there. Being translated from the different languages to our English language, I think there's maybe some things that we might not quite all understand completely. And so this was just something that, being that Christmas time is coming up, this was something that really grabbed me, and I was really, you know, what would I have done? Put yourself in their shoes. And this is kind of the physical aspect of Christmas, you know, of the people back then not understanding really what all was going to take place. But they were willing. Joseph and Mary were willing to be used of God. And how they handled this is a testimony to their faith in God. With that being said, I don't believe our goal this Christmas should be one of trying to figure out the minute details of what exactly happened and how it happened. But I believe as Christians, this Christmas, I believe we need to understand what Christmas means to us, not necessarily the minute details of how everything happened, but what does Christmas mean to you? What does Christmas mean to me? And so here we are in the month of December. The Christmas carols are ringing on the radio. We're singing Christmas carols this morning. The school Christmas programs are beginning to start. They're coming up in a week or so. The stores are packed with people buying decorations and gifts. And it's just an exciting but stressful time of year. And so I thought, since we are in the Christmas season, since Christmas music has been playing about a week now this month, I thought it would probably be okay for me to share a Christmas message with you this morning, even though it's just December 8th. But this is my only chance to share with you a Christmas message before Christmas, and so I took the liberty to do that here this morning. I believe that Christmas is a special time for each one of us. It's a time spent with being off work, being with your family. It's a time of Christmas caroling, you know, get-togethers, opening gifts, and so on. And I pray that with all the special things you have planned over Christmas, that you and I will at some time take a minute to understand what Christmas really means. Maybe not just the physical aspect, but what does it mean spiritually? We, as people today, have the privilege to look back and to read the Christmas account and to understand why it was God incarnate, why it was Jesus who came to earth as a baby to live among us. We have the ability to read in the Bible of why this took place, but back then the people didn't know why. I believe that the ones that were closest to Jesus probably didn't even understand what was happening, really, and what was the importance of his birth. And I know most, if not all, of what I had to say this morning you may have heard somewhere else, and but I just want to present it again to you this morning before to keep it fresh in your minds before the Christmas season hits. Just to have us to understand what the meaning of Christmas really is. I know for myself it's easy to get caught up in all that goes on during Christmas, like gifts and things like that, and to forget or even not to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. It's pretty easy to to move your mind off of Christ and to move them onto gifts, you know, having fun with opening your gifts and not knowing what's inside of them, but to pretty quickly forget what Christmas is about. And I believe the devil wants nothing more than to minimize the importance of Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas. And I believe that he uses the commercialization of Christmas and the counterfeit, the false creatures like Santa Claus and the reindeer. You know, I believe the devil uses that during the holiday season to distract us as Christians or distract people. I believe that's what the devil is trying to do. So the first scripture that I want to read, I have up here in the ESV. And the first thing that I want you to catch, and I want you to catch these things because at the end of the message, we're going to review and we're going to take a test and see how well you guys can remember these. I have four things that is the meaning of the true meaning of Christmas. And the first thing is, what did Jesus give up to come as a baby in the first Christmas? What did he give up? So let's just read here Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. And if you remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I talked about I talked about our mind and having the mind of Christ. This was the same passage, but this is also talks about what Jesus gave up, what God incarnate gave up to come to earth. And so let's read that at this time. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Jesus was born on earth not to be a king, but not to be a king or a ruler, but to be a servant. He didn't come to fight, but he came to be crucified. Christmas is about what Jesus gave up to come to earth as a baby. It's about what he gave up as a human being. It's about what he gave up as an eternal being to be a human being. Jesus left a place of unmatched peace and joy, and the presence of being with his Father. And he came to a place of sin, of temptation, and evil, and hate. And I had to think again of the temptation that he had to endure. I believe it was soon after he was baptized. And he went up into the mountain, and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the temptation that the devil tempted him with of power, of hunger, and of spectacular arrival of somebody of huge importance. Last evening we were, my wife's sister got married, and after the wedding we went to my brother-in-law's house, and we were talking about fasting and the power that hunger has on us. And if you have ever fasted for any length of time, and the power that it takes to say no to food is tough. Even to diet or eat less at meals is tough. The taste of food, especially the sweet stuff, the sugars in food, the desserts, the fresh chocolate whoopie pies, Delmar. It's tough to say no to. And speaking of the power of hunger, we have a fellowship meal today, and the temptation to eat more than what we really need. Hunger for food has extreme power. If you really think about it, it has extreme power. And it takes a huge amount of self-control to fast or even to lose weight. I had to think of Jacob and Esau. And Esau was willing to give up his birthright. He was willing to give up his position and his inheritance. He was willing to just let that go because he was hungry. The power of hunger, because he was hungry. And Jesus came away, and Jesus came from a place where his hunger was satisfied. He didn't have hunger where he was. He wasn't ever tempted in the presence of his Father. And for him to be tempted of the devil to turn the rocks into bread when he was extreme, I'm sure he was extremely hungry, was just a very powerful witness of self-control and not yielding to the power of hunger. But again, what we're talking about is what Jesus gave up. Jesus was satisfied where he was with his Father. He didn't have to deal with hunger back when he was with his Father. So in order for us to appreciate Christ to the fullest, we have to understand where he came from and what he left behind. So as a baby, when Jesus came, what he gave up to be born as a baby at Christmas. The second thing, the meaning of Christmas, is he brought salvation by grace. And I'm going to read in John chapter 1, 14 through 18. It says, "And the Word, which is Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he who I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And so again, the Word became flesh. It was baby Jesus becoming in the flesh. He dwelt among us. So Christmas brought grace and truth to the world. Salvation was now available to us, to all who believed, not just the Jews. Before, God had his chosen people. And that's who salvation was available for. But Jesus coming to earth made salvation available for us, for you. In the Old Testament, when God used Moses and Joshua to lead the children of Israel to the promised land, to Canaan, God's plan was to obliterate the evil, to purge the land of evil, to kill them, to get rid of them completely. That was God's plan before Jesus came. God didn't want his people to fall to the other gods and walk away from him. Now, with the birth of Jesus, we have a new command. It doesn't say to, you know, be separate from the world, make sure you don't get involved with the world. But what does it say? It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so before Jesus came, God's people were separate. They were kind of together. They were commanded to be not influenced by the world. And now that Jesus came and Jesus died, we're commanded to go into the world and preach the gospel. Because of Jesus' birth and death and resurrection, we now have the power of the Spirit to resist evil. Matthew Henry's commentary says this: Our receivings by Christ are all summed up in this one word, grace. We have received even grace, a gift so great, so rich, so invaluable. The goodwill of God towards us and the good work of God in us. From Moses we receive the law, but from Jesus, from Christmas, we receive the gift of grace and truth. We are now free from ceremonial sacrifice. And in the birth and in with the birth of the perfect Lamb. The birth of Jesus brought grace to the world. The manger brought grace to the world. Our sins are no longer covered by blood of animals, but they're covered and they're washed by the blood of Christ, the perfect Lamb. So grace was born in the manger. The third thing is fellowship with us. Jesus was born to have fellowship with us. And I'm going to be reading 1 John 1:1-5. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifest, and we have seen, and which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. That which was from the beginning, talking about Jesus, Jesus always was. We talked about where He came from. Jesus was in the very beginning. Then it says, which we have heard, which we seen and touched concerning Jesus. And then again it says, we have seen, who was with the Father and made manifest to us. And again, John says, again he talks about being, we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with you. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. John was excited about this. John was excited about being able to speak with Christ, to see Him, to even touch Him. He was excited about this. And God went through infinite lengths to have fellowship with us. Jesus came to earth to have fellowship with us, to live among us. God's plan for His creation was not just to be of one ruling over us, just a spiritual being of someone out there to rule over us and for us to bow down to. But God sent Jesus to have relationship with His people, to have fellowship with us. It was a way that God could communicate with His people. And this was Jesus born in a manger. The meaning of Christmas is one of fellowship with His people, fellowship with you and I. And today we don't have the privilege of facing Jesus face to face. And to fellowship with Him like the people did when back in His day. But we are blessed to have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We are blessed to have the Word of God in our possession. Back then, they didn't have that. They didn't have that privilege. They didn't have the privilege of having the New Testament in their possession. And God went through great lengths to get to us. He went to great lengths to get to us by sending His Son. Now, we must go through great lengths to get to Him. We need to go through great lengths to get closer to Him. He drew near to us first, and we need to draw near to Him. Do we put in the time through prayer and reading and studying God's Word in order for us to draw near to Him? Do we put in the time and the energy to draw near to Him? He desires our fellowship. Jesus came to earth to have fellowship with us. He desires that fellowship. And so do we do our part in our fellowship with Him? Again, this is the meaning of Christmas, fellowship with us. The fourth thing is the reason why Jesus came, the meaning of Christmas, is that love really matters. Love really matters. And for the verses for this, I have John 3, verses 16 through 18. Very familiar passage. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In the secular world, they say that nothing after life matters. They say that what we're experiencing in this life right now is the only thing that matters. When we die, things are over. It's done. Your time is over. And so living for today is what really matters. That's what the secular world says. We do all we can to please ourselves now, because this is all that matters. What about our lives as Christians? Do we ever fall into the ditch of materialism and possessions? And I have to confess, I'm guilty of living for possessions at times, not being content with the love that Jesus had for me, but trying to find the next possession or the next upgrade. What do our children catch during Christmas and the gift-giving season? Do they see us being satisfied with Christ's love? Being satisfied with Christ's gift to us? Or do they see the gifts that we give and receive as more important than of Christ? Sure, we say that Christ's gift of love is that Christ's gift of love to us is more important. We say that. But what do our actions show? We can read through the Christmas story really quickly. You know, before we open our gifts, it's kind of a tradition to quickly read through the story. And I don't know that our children are even listening. They're just anxious to open their presents. But then we move on quickly to opening gifts. When Jesus came as a baby, hate for our enemies was replaced by love for our enemies. Before Christ, there were times when God's people were instructed to fight and to kill their enemies. But baby Jesus brought love into the world. And I had to think of the passage that my brother-in-law read at the wedding, and I just want to read that here. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 5, and then 7 through 8. And again, this talks about love really matters. Jesus coming to earth as a baby brought love to the world. Love really matters. And this is what it says. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And this is what Jesus brought to the earth when he was born. He brought love. And so, in the busyness of this Christmas, let's focus on these four things. And I want to just give the opportunity for you to tell me these four things. See if you guys remember. What was the first thing about the meaning of Christ's birth? Yes. What he gave up. What Jesus gave up to be born on this earth. What was the second one? Salvation by grace to all who believe. Jesus' birth brought salvation to us. That's something to be grateful for. What was the third one? That's right. Fellowship with us. The Bible says that nobody could ever see God, but through the filter of Jesus' life, through the filter of Jesus, we saw, we heard, and we felt the relationship that he belongs to, that he longs to have with us. With Jesus being born on this earth, we saw, we heard, and we felt the relationship that he longs to have with us. And the fourth one? Love really matters. Especially this time of year. Let's share the love that Christ gave to us with others. With others, meaning the ones that may not have family to celebrate this time of year. There might be people out there that felt like Joseph when his wife told him that she was pregnant. He might have felt alone. It probably wasn't a good time of the year for him at that point. When we sing the Christmas carols this year, let's think about the words and the songs of what all Jesus gave us at Christmas. And when we meet together as families this Christmas, remember the fellowship, the relationship that God desires with us as Christians. And this Christmas, let's remember to focus even more on Christ and what his birth means to us. And hopefully the gifts and the commercializations of Christmas will fade behind the manger, instead of the manger fading behind the gifts and the commercialization. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this time of year, for the Christmas season, and where we can commemorate your birth and what you brought to earth for us. And Lord, thank you too for being willing to give up what you had beside your Father's side, and having the peace and love, and knowing the love that really mattered. Lord, you had all that you needed, but yet you were willing to come to earth as a baby. And Lord, I pray that that we as Christians would accept your grace that you brought as a baby. Lord, help us to understand your love and your grace for us as people, and giving us hope as Christians. And Lord, also, I thank you for your fellowship with us and your coming to this earth to have the relationship with us, and that you cared enough about that you came in person to dwell among us. And also, how much you love us. Lord, I just thank you for your love. And Lord, help us as Christians to show that love to others around us, whether it's our own family, our friends, our church brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to show love to each other, and that the world may see that we love you, and that they may see your love for them as well. I just thank you for each one that is here. And again, I just pray that this Christmas season we could be filled with your Spirit, and just be thankful for all that you've done for us. And I pray this in your name. Amen.